This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Time for our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and we all know that the price of corn is really high, typically at $5.40 a bushel. It seems to plateau there at this point. There's a kind of what they call a resistance level. In other words, once it gets much higher than that, farmers and livestock people are probably not going to purchase the crop, and some of our foreign exports may also slow down. Soybeans are also over $14 a bushel, so our crop people are quite happy, but that also means soybean meal is now over $400 a ton, depending where you're located in the United States. For example, Pennsylvania, that $400 a ton could be more like $416 a ton, so it depends on transportation and where it's being produced. So why are these prices out here that livestock producers are facing? Well, first of all, China, I know there's some political discussions going on there, but they're buying lots of soybeans, basically for their livestock industry and also for the human people as well. And then, of course, corn for the resurging swine industry. So as a result, there's pressure on the corn market as well. Projections are we're going to raise about 6 million more acres of corn this year. And where does that come from? Well, basically, it depends on prevent plant acreages. Remember, we had a really wet spring a couple of years ago. We had over 20 million acres that were never planted, and there's a government program called Prevent Plants there. And of course, we're going to see some shifting going on. Farmers can make more money growing soybeans than they can corn, so we're going to see some movement there sometime this spring. So basically, a lot of question marks at this point where these prices are going to be. And I'm guessing or suggesting that probably in the next 2 or 3 months, they're not going to change very much until we get a new crop in the ground. We kind of see what the soil conditions and growing conditions and moisture conditions. So where does that leave you right now? Well, my first strategy, Bill, would be that we're going to make high-quality forages. We're in that coming that window now, and if I get high-quality forages, that may be legumes and grasses and small grain, I can feed less corn, less energy, and I might be able to replace some of the soybean meal with the protein that's coming from my forage crops, depending on its form. So certainly that'll be important. Let's get high-quality forages. Another concept I would suggest is what we call precision feeding, and that really applies especially to the protein levels in the diet. Precision feeding means I'm feeding just the exact right amounts I want to feed to my various classes of dairy cattle on the farm. High-producing cows, low-producing cows, dry cows, and growing heifers. And to get precision feeding on the protein side, I need a rumen model so I can actually get a very accurate prediction of metabolizable protein, which is basically, listeners, the amino acids coming from the rumen microbes and also from the bypass protein sources here. And once we know what that number should be, we can either bring urea in there for a bit low on rumen degradable protein. If we need more rumen undegraded protein, I got some wonderful byproduct feeds, such as corn distillers. I can fit that market very well. So I think you also, on the energy side, you want to be able to mix and match some of our rumen fermentable carbohydrates. These are sugars, starches, and soluble fibers. And some of the unique work from the Minor Institute said that as long as I get somewhere around 38% to 40% of these three, we can kind of mix and match them a little bit because that's the fuel of the rumen microbes. So take over. Feed prices are probably going to stay modestly high for the next 2 or 3 months here, and farmers need to make some decisions can reduce some fine-tuning. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois. Rain in the forecast in the Midwest, according to USDA's Brad Rippey.
For the most part, the rain will be good news, especially true in states like South Dakota, still dealing with a very punishing drought. And that will also be good news, I think, across much of the upper Midwest. A good pre-planting soaking that should help to condition soils in advance of corn and soybean planting later this month or on into May. Now, the one piece of bad news with this system, well, maybe a couple of pieces of bad news. Number one, it looks like almost all of the rain is going to bypass Montana and North Dakota. Those are two of the driest states in the country right now.
The storm could also bring more tornadoes.
After a very active March when we saw more than 175 tornadoes, could see some more severe weather.
Again, that's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Get control of flies on your dairy operation with an integrated pest management program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products from Central Life Sciences. Clarifly Larvicide offers feed-through control that prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated animals by as much as 96%. And Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that address fly problems in all areas of your dairy operation. Flies can spread disease and lead to decreases in milk quality and yields. Learn how to limit their impact at centralflycontrol.com.
For archive programs, head to dairyradio.com. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.